I was going to say all that in my intro, so I'll just have to think what the second thing I was going to say was. Yeah, we're both from East London Printmakers. We're based on Mare Street in Hackney. We're a cooperative of... We have a membership of over 200 people, and 30 of those members are key holders, and the key holders are the ones that use the studio and run the studio between them. I'm just starting with this slide, which is our logo. I'm a bit nervous because we're not really graphic designers, and I know there's a lot of you out there today, and we actually design this ourselves, but we're quite proud of it, so hopefully it stands up. I'm not sure it follows on from the lecture set very well, but anyway. I thought it'd be nice to start with the logo. It's a good illustration of how we operate, really. We draw on the skills of the group, and whoever has a particular skill that might apply, we ask them to bring that to the table. So let me just, how do we... All right. Okay. So this is our early beginnings here. Scrabbling.
Being cooperative.
Scrabbling through rubbish dumps to find things to equip our studio with. We were actually started by a guy called Rory Brook, who was living in Birmingham, and there was a printmakers in Birmingham that was an open access studio, and he thought when he moved to East London, he thought there would be a demand, and indeed there has been huge demand for it. So he began 12 years ago, started just meeting up. He advertised anyone who was interested in printmaking, who wanted to form a bit of a support network, to come along to the pub and chat about work and show their work to each other and talk about exhibition opportunities. And they set up East London Printmakers with the long-term goals of opening a studio that would be accessible to anyone who wanted to use it, really. And this is the studio as it looks now, part of it. This is the etching area. So over the last 12 years, I suppose the first two or three years, there wasn't a studio, and then the group opened a studio in Bow Arts Trust. And then we moved to our current premises about 8 years ago, which is in the space building at the Triangle on Mare Street. So we're in a building with lots of other artists and designers, which is really nice. It feels like we're kind of part of a community. So the facilities we have, for those that are interested, this is our lovely new big etching press in the middle, which is a American-French or French-American tool company press, which comes from Belgium. Behind that, there's a little old press that no one knows what brand it is, but that actually belongs to one of our members, and it's much used and much loved. The big press in the middle, we fundraise for that. Actually, Victoria can maybe talk about how we did that. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I think it's just a case of having a network in London. And we just got an email one day of a woman who had a press that she wasn't using, and she'd like to be able to allow other artists to come in and use the press. So we came up with an agreement, and we paid for the press in two instalments. I think that is one of the things that you can benefit from being part of a collective, is that you can find out many other things going on in the city that you live in and beyond, for the needs of the group of artists.
Yeah. And well, the way we actually got the money was we hired out the studio one day a week, really, for it. Was it every week for a year? Or almost every other week for a year, to another group called Freeform, who worked with...
We still do that now with the workshops.
Work with young offenders, and they came and used our facilities to teach workshops, and the money that they paid us to hire the studio we put towards buying the etching press, which I think was about £4,500. This is the other side of the studio, so we've got the etching and relief printing on one side. This is the screen printing side. We've got 4 vacuum printing tables and 1 fabric printing table, which is about 8 foot by 4 foot, I think. It's a very nice space to work in. This is our synchronized printing team, Steven Irune. And this is our the third etching press, which gets used more for collagraph and relief printing. So you can actually print lino cuts and things up to about 4 foot wide, which is quite good. And then this is a little Albion that we've got. Again, this doesn't belong to the studio. This was lent to us, really, by a friend of a friend whose dad sadly passed away, and it was sitting in his garage getting very rusty, and it was in pieces. And his wife really wanted to see it being used, so it was offered to the studio, and we kind of, with a bit of help, we put it back together. And it gets a lot of use now. It only prints up to about A4, but it's quite fun to use. As you can see, you have to use quite a lot of pressure to... This was one of my students on my workshop. So in the studio, we have open access 2 days a week. So we have 3 sessions on a Thursday, morning, afternoon, and evening, and Saturday 10 till 2. And we also run workshops every Wednesday. And the idea is that the facilities are available to really anyone who wants to use it, whether they're a complete beginner or a professional printmaker, graphic designer, illustrator, fashion designer, whatever. So we do get an incredible range of people come through the studio. And that's really nice because you see other people working, you kind of pick up ways of doing things. We also run the program of workshops. We also run, for our members, we run a master workshops series. And this is an artist called Chris Pigg, who's a member, and he prints these amazing, huge lino cuts. So this was a cold January day, which it's normally not that cold, so that's why there's quite a lot of hats in this picture. And this was one of my students. I thought it was nice because he just looked really chuffed. A happy customer. I don't think it came out that well, actually. It was a bit... we were trying to do sugar lift, and it didn't go that well, but he was happy, so that was right. So that's the studio side. We, like I say, the 30 key holders who have full-time access to the facilities when they want to use it. And then if anyone who's a beginner wants to use the studio, they come and have a workshop, and then they're allowed to come back, use open access. We have a whole other side of things that we do with our membership, which, as I say, is about 200 people. One of the primary things we do is put on exhibitions. And over the last definitely 8 years since I've been there, they've really grown in stature. This was probably our most successful show to date, called Wonderland, and it showed in 2 venues in Germany, and then it came to the Museum of Childhood in Bethnal Green, which is part of the V&A. And this photo, this is Deborah Curtis and Gavin Turk, who opened the show. And it was an exhibition based around fairy tales. And I think there were about 50 artists took part. This was the museum in, do you want to pronounce it?
No.
No, Bad Ernhausen. Yeah, we had fun with that one. In Germany, which was an interesting spa town. There was lots of people on crutches wandering around where people went to recover. So we had to be quite quiet. But this was a kind of typical quaint German building, and inside was the museum. So this was us. I think there was about 7 of us went over and stayed with various German families who very kindly put us up. So about 7 of us went over and installed it with the technicians who were there. As you can see, there's prints on the walls, but we also have a lot of other kinds of work that get made. In the cabinets there, there's artist books, and then you can't see it in this photo, but there was a large installation just to the right of that one as well. This was a show at Bankside Gallery, which is the closest I've ever got to exhibiting in Tate Modern. It's right next door. And again, there was about 50 artists in this show. So the last 3 years, we've done an exhibition, an annual exhibition for our members. And the way it normally works, we normally just split the cost of hiring the space, and it works out about 50 quid per artist. But it's a really nice space to show at. And then I'm going to let Victoria talk about this. Was a book fair at the Arnolfini in Bristol, which we did last year. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Just quickly recapping on perhaps just a couple of things that we haven't talked about in the workshops and the studio. I mean, if you were considering doing something similar to setting up a cooperative, you have to bear in mind that there were only about 10 people at the beginning, and the studio was much smaller. So this has been going on over 12 years. And the flexibility for people to come and go is determined by the fact that nobody is selected for the studio. So anybody can be a member and anybody can become a keyholder. There are always going to be disadvantages and advantages to that. But I have to say, as a collective that I belong to, I'm very proud to belong to East London Printmakers, because it's benefited myself as an artist as much as getting involved and being able to give back. This is just one of the projects that has now actually gone on to something else in my own practice. Was this at Bristol? Was this at in West London? Yeah. Okay, well, we have sometimes commit to artist book fairs as part of what we do through print. And I'm there with Peter Rapp, who's one of the other key holders. And it was a one-off event in Bristol, went down very well, and we've done similar events since. On a personal level, last year I set up a project space myself on Redchurch Street for artist books, and it's been running now for 10 months, and it will be a 12-month project. And I've been then launching artist books, exhibiting other artists, and allowing people to come in for free drop-in workshops under the name of Collide Editions. And that's just like one of the extensions to belonging to a studio. The other exhibition that you saw previously, Katia. Katia's from Germany. That's one of the reasons why we exhibited in Germany. She's now gone on to curate many other shows, and it's something that's really become a profession of hers. I think she's worked with Deborah Curtis quite a bit on forthcoming events. And what else have we got? Yes, there's also the workshops in Italy. So alongside to the workshops that we run at East London Printmakers, which has helped ourselves sort of get into an experience of educating other people, we've then been invited to go to Italy to do a very similar setup just over the summer in a wonderful sort of 18th century castle, which sounds far too good to be true, but watch this space. All the information's on the website, so yeah. They're sort of the extensions beyond the studio, as it were.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we say to our members is anyone that has a project that they want to see happen, as long as they put in the effort to kind of oversee it, we'll support them as a group. And this was a project of a box of prints by any member that wanted to take part, really, that was set up by a guy called Steve Edwards, and he's kind of run it for the last 3 years. So each artist was given just a format to work in, and beyond that they could do whatever they liked. There wasn't any theme or anything. The paper we supplied for free by John Purcell, which was great. So the only cost to the artists was actually buying the boxes themselves. So we printed an edition of 50 prints and then made them into boxes. And I think there was about 25 artists the first year that took part. So each artist got a full set of prints, and it was an edition of 50. So the ones that were left over after we all got our set, we have sold. Well, that was the aim anyway. And the V&A actually have asked to have one of each of the last 3 years' box sets for their collection. They didn't give us any money, but they wanted it for their collection. So we're all now in the V&A collection at least, so that's good. You can see the one of Victoria's prints and one of my prints in this picture. Victoria's is the one in the box, and mine's the one with the big moustache. And we screen printed the onto the front of the box as well, just to kind of make it a bit more interesting. So those are available for about £350 for the set, or £40 per print. And I'm going to ask Victoria to talk about this. This was the artist residency, which she actually set up about 3 years ago. Was this our first?
Yes,
this
Jana.
Was the first resident artist, Jana. I've got it written down.
Jana van Hasselt.
Van Hasselt, yeah.
I actually took on the role of chair about 3 years ago, I think. I was the chair for about 18 months. The chair gives you an opportunity to then implement something that you would really like to push through the studio, because at the end of the day, you're doing this voluntarily and the committee are there to support you. I've lived abroad and worked in various different places, and one of the things that I felt confined about being stuck in the studio is that I couldn't leave. I had a wonderful studio to share, and I knew the other artists very well, and I knew their work, but I wanted to try and sort of heighten the quality of the work that was coming through the studio. So to do that, we introduced a residency programme and also the master workshop. So the master workshop specifically covers, we can then invite professionals that have been working sort of 20, 30 years or more, and we have the funds that are covered by the members that want to take part in that workshop, so that we can then learn technically in that respect, and that can feed back into our own practice. With the residency is a way of sharing beyond the studio. So many of these sort of events and ideas have come about. They are sort of talked about in a committee. It's always a group decision. And this was just about passed, I think. People didn't have the belief that anybody would want to turn up for 12 weeks without a budget for a residency, because we didn't have any Arts Council funding. We still don't have funding from anywhere else. But I just thought, well, surely most people know someone they can stay with in London if they want to use the facilities at East London Printmakers. And sure enough, Jana is from New Zealand, and she was the first person who actually applied for the residency. And we had 10 applications, I think, for the first one. And Jana was given a 12-week residency at East London Printmakers. And you can see this is an ongoing body of work that she'd been working on that had gone around the world, that consisted of screen prints and stone lithography. Actually, the stone lithography relates back to the talk this morning, that autolithography. I was a bit confused about that term because I work on stones and it's just stone lithography, so I'm not sure where the auto bit. But anyway, there are those processes out there, and some artists work within one medium, and other artists, because of the studio that we have, are more than happy to work between screen printing, lino, etching. Misha, who's showing the copper plate there, Misha's from Russia. He teaches in Chicago, and he came over especially for our residency, but he didn't tell us he was also a secret professional tango dancer and also a Russian representative for fencing. So he sort of created quite a storm when he arrived. And I think his master workshop that he put on consisted of fencing a dry point plate. So he had quite a fan following, I think, by the time he left. From Misha's point of view, he benefited hugely. He'd never been to London. He didn't know the art scene. I was able to introduce him to certain galleries that now represent his work. He was also then invited to go to China to give a presentation there through the contacts that he made here. So it is very much a shared space. There is no ownership. The ownership is the work that you make and the work that you exhibit. And that's sort of, I think, my passion of that sort of the shared.
Woo! There's the dog.
Okay, well, look, do you want to round up then?
Yeah, that was only 20 minutes, so we can just finish
off.
Should
we do questions then? Yeah, because otherwise
we don't get questions. Well, I haven't finished. There's a couple more slides.
All right, okay.
This was a portfolio that we put. I thought we better show some artwork as well, or some art. This was a portfolio that we put together for an exhibition at Spike. It's not called Spike Island anymore. It's called Spike Print Studio or something in Bristol.
Which part of Impact?
Oh, Impact was the name of the. Yeah. So there's again, Victoria's on the lower left. Mine's not in this one, but this just shows kind of the range of work going on. We try not to have any kind of rules about whether you're an amateur artist or professional. We try to let everyone do their own thing, and actually it works really well. And then this is the last slide you'll be glad to hear. This was just our Christmas Ways Goose party. I noticed that Victoria's got a flyer for another Ways Goose. So I thought, yeah. I was very clever finding that word, but apparently every print studio does it. So,
do you want to explain what Ways Goose is?
No, they all know already. It's a party for printers. Anyway, this was ours, and we printed canvas bags. We did a kind of exquisite corpse drawing on a canvas bag, and then each member got a bag to take home with them. And we had some balloons and stuff.
I can say one thing.
Yeah.
Just relating back to the talk this morning, what I would say about this studio is that the studio allows creative people to come together. You know, trying to define, are you a contemporary visual artist? Are you a graphic designer? Are you an illustrator? Are you a textile designer? This space does not label you in that way. And so it allows for people to come together and be influenced by one another. And what I've noticed time and again, especially with the gallery that I've been running, Clyde Editions, and the response from the graphic world, actually, for artist books, Graphic magazine in particular picked up on Clyde Editions early on. And I hadn't really looked at the graphic arena. I was looking elsewhere. And this is what this studio can do all the time, every day, is that it creates a milieu and that sort of moment of graphic designers being inspired by contemporary art and vice versa. So you've got like the Ed Ruscha typeface, and then this morning being influenced by Tate Modern's collection of art. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.